the heavens opened up and angels gathered together in, I don't know, 3 or 4 part harmony. Is there such thing? And they began to declare glory to God in the highest. Can you imagine being a shepherd in the fields that night and see the heavens open up and see angels appearing and suddenly they start talking to you? Come on, you know that was the first Noel, right? What a tremendous experience to know. And they proclaim this, peace on earth and goodwill toward men. However, it's no doubt kind of an irony tonight as we gather here that our world is so fractured and it's so hurting. Again, today on the news, stories breaking hearts this Christmas Eve of even firefighters coming to rescue a family, of a home emblazed and a mad, mad man shooting dead 2 firefighters en route to saving what they thought were lives at risk. You see, ladies and gentlemen, really when you think about how can we put this world back together again, there are no answers apart from Christ, are there? We need Jesus Christ. We need the Christ of Christmas. We definitely need to understand tonight that the heavens need to be rent again. And the voices of angels need to proclaim glory to God in the highest, peace on earth and goodwill toward men. But I believe God's given you and me that particular mandate. It is now our responsibility to be able to proclaim to this world, you can have peace with God and you can have peace with one another. Tonight I want to share with you from the Word of God out of Luke chapter 2 and verse 14. I've already quoted it, but it's worth us spending time and reflecting as we prepare our hearts at the end of this service to receive communion. You see, God is the source of peace in the earth. But I want to remind us tonight, while He might be the source of peace, you and I are the sanctuary of peace. It is where people can come who live in unrest, who cannot find tranquility or answers, they can come to the sanctuary of peace. Not a church built with brick and mortar, but you and me, living epistles. We are the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we house or possess the very peace of God that they're looking for. A father had come home from a very long and arduous day. He found himself exhausted. And he thought, you know, I think I'm just going to sit down in my favorite chair, turn on the television, relax for a little bit, and then begin my evening. However, just moments into his relaxation mode, his little boy, glad to see his father home from work, came running around the corner. Daddy, Daddy, can we play? His daddy looked over at him and said, son, I just got home. Can you give me a couple of minutes? Daddy's got to rest. Well, he went away a bit dejected, but came back a few minutes later. Daddy, Daddy, as if he had never been rejected earlier. Can we play? His father thought, well, I've got to do something to divert his attention. He noticed in the newspaper a picture of the world. So he took the paper, ripped it off, and began to rip the world up in many, many pieces. And he said, son, this is what I want you to do. I want you to take this world and go find a place where you can put it back together again. And when you do, you bring it to Daddy and then we'll play. He thought for sure he had a good 20 minutes to half hour of rest and relaxation. Within just minutes, his son returned and said, Daddy, Daddy, let's play. I put the world back together. And his father was a bit amazed. He said, how in the world, son, did you put the world back together so quickly? He said, Daddy, it was easy. I turned it over and saw the face of a man. And so I just put the man back together. And the world automatically fell together as well. You see, you and I may be trying, yeah, to change the world. But we can't change the world. You and I have been commissioned to change men. It's the hearts of men that have to be changed. And it was this message of the angels that night on the birth of Christ that said, there is good news. You can have peace on earth and you can have goodwill toward men. You see, God is changing the world tonight, but one person at a time. You and I have a responsibility as we sit here this evening to look at all the brokenness, all of the pieces of the lives of those around us and realize that we understand how they can be brought back together again. Because it is God's only Son that came to the world, that you and I could offer that message of hope and that message of redemption to those that are experiencing life in pieces and can't seem to find or make sense of all that they're experiencing. You know, when I think about redemption, I think about my condition in God. I think about my joy that I have in Him. I think about the blessing in my life. Before the service began, I had a moment to be able to say hello to some of you and saw you and your families and together with friends. Man, it just brings such a joy to me to know that I have people in my life who appreciate me and I appreciate them. Getting ready this afternoon, I was watching my wife scurrying around in the kitchen and, you know, just in a little while, we're all going to convene in our home, 22 of us, and boy, we're going to be hungry. And she was cooking and she was baking, and I had to reflect for a moment the goodness of God and said, the world is in turmoil, but all is calm because Christ has given me great peace. I reflect upon my salvation tonight, and I want you to do the same with me, because there are those in this world tonight, in this valley, in this region, who still can't put their world back together. I remember as one who was not born again, the Bible says that when outside of Christ, we stand as sinners, guilty before the Lord. Those of us who knew Christ and understood that living life prior to coming to know Him, it was a difficult road to take. It was a difficult life to live. Because we were guilty, guilty of sin, guilty of rebellion, guilty of so many things. But you know what the beauty of our salvation is? That even though we were guilty, Christ justified us. And I want you to know tonight, the first piece that comes together in the puzzle of this world's brokenness is that we understand Romans 8:33. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. In other words, His forgiveness brings us into communion with Him. And suddenly, we're legally in right standing with Him. Regardless of what we've done, regardless of how rebellious we've been, we know that God's hand in our life has brought our world together. Not only are we justified, but in our redemption, we stand as sons and we stand free tonight. The Bible says that apart from Christ, we are slaves to sin. To be a slave is to be under the empowerment of another. To be at the will of another. To have someone impose their consciousness upon us. To steal away identity. To be a heavy taskmaster. And to demand of us when we don't want to give. The Bible called us, prior to our salvation, slaves to sin. But this is the beauty about our redemption. When you and I come to Christ, Romans 6 and verse 18, it simply says this, and having been set free from sin, you become slaves of righteousness. But here's the good news. A slave of sin is what will extract from you and take from you and impose upon you and steal from you. But a slave of righteousness empowers you and equips you and builds you and gives you the power to live an abundant life. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we have a lot to be thankful for tonight, on this night when we celebrate the birth of our Lord. But not only are we justified and not only are we redeemed, but we are forgiven. Can you remember a moment in your life when you needed forgiveness? Do you remember a time when you had to go to your spouse or your children or someone you work with or a good friend and Say, you know, I was wrong. Can you forgive me? You know, there's nothing greater than to experience the forgiveness of God. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:17 that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of Him. Because apart from Christ, I stood as a debtor. I stood as one that owed that which I couldn't pay. There was no way I could ever come up with the bond, if you will. I found myself without hope. But here's the beauty of our redemption. Here's the beauty of the Christmas message. Here's the beauty of Christ coming to the earth. That you and I, in need of forgiveness, you and I were debtors, but Christ paid the price. He paid the penalty. And that's why we can sing, Silent Night, Holy Night. That's why we can say, all is calm, all is bright. Because your life and my life has been justified. It's been redeemed. And we have been forgiven. But we've also been reconciled. Because there was a time in my life when I knew not God. I knew nothing about God. And quite honestly, I didn't care to. I didn't even know that I needed Him. I didn't even know that He knew me. But one day, when Christ came to my life, He reconciled me to my Father. You know, today, sadly, so many of us grow up without a really solid relationship with our earthly dads. It's unfortunate today that we see so much self-centeredness in the family. Little children grow up wanting and desiring approval of their father. Many of us grow into adulthood and never gaining that kind of appreciation from the one that we wanted it from most. We end up giving our lives to Christ, and it's hard to relate to a Father in heaven who says, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." It appears as though we must add something to bring harmony between our relationship. But let me tell you about Christmas and what it means. Christ coming to the earth means that you can be reconciled to your Father in heaven. And that He, like the Father in the story of the prodigal son in Luke 15, has been standing daily at the edge of the driveway waiting for your return. Whether or not you would come home today. Because He has a plan for your future. He's not there to point fingers or to blame. As a matter of fact, He wants to bring you into harmony with the whole household of God. That's why this message tonight is good news. That's why this message tonight needs to be spread apart, spread around, and spread through every dilemma, fear, negativity, every place of darkness. It is really the hope of the world. It's the only way the world can ever be put back together again, is when you and I come in face-to-face contact with Jesus Christ. You see, once I stood as a sinner, and I was an enemy of God. That's what the Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 5:18. I was an enemy of God. I was not God's friend. But today, because of Christ, I'm His friend. I can't believe that He's my Father. As a matter of fact, I can, like many others, have cried out, Abba, Father, Daddy, God, is it time to play? You see, I was that little boy who needed that father, who needed that touch. You're that little boy, you're that little girl who wants that attention. And the Father said, go play, give me some time, put the world back together again. And we think, how could I ever do enough to get that touch from the one I need it the most? And religion will teach you that you have to do this and you have to do that. Religion will teach you have to jump through this hoop and jump through that. The Holy Spirit is here tonight to tell you simply, turn the page over. You see, that picture on the back of that piece of those of the world is not just an anonymous personality. It's a picture of you, and it's a picture of me. Our life can be put back together again in the person of Christ. And when we turn it over, our entire world will be different. Our entire world will come back together again. That's why there's hope for marriage. That's why there's hope for relationships. That's why there's hope for health. That's why there's hope for prosperity. That's why there's hope for America and every nation in the earth, church. Because when we're right with God, we impact and affect the world in which we live. Lastly, not only are we justified, redeemed, forgiven, reconciled, but we're adopted. We stood as strangers, but now we're a family. There's some dynamic that you only find among those who name Christ as their Savior. You really don't have to have any history. You really don't have to know each other that well. All you have to do is say, I'm a Christian. I've received Christ as my Savior. You go, really? So have I. And suddenly there's this attraction that's supernatural. It's called the family of God. And you find that the longer that you're in the family, the more that you appreciate the family. When you see one another, you can rejoice. When one another is happy, you can laugh with them. But when they cry and when they grieve, you find yourself tearing up because you so relate to family. As I was sitting here tonight listening to the glorious music coming from this platform, thank you, by the way, you guys are incredible. I looked over at many of my family. Yeah, give them a hand clap. That's awesome. I looked over at my family and I was overwhelmed with the fact that Christ came into my life. I remember my first Noel. I remember the night that I surrendered my life to Christ. I remember when I was an enemy and now I'm a friend. I remember when I was a slave to sin and now I become freed in righteousness. My heart was overwhelmed with worship and my eyes were filling up with tears. And I thought, what's wrong with me? Maybe it's my old age. I'm just getting sentimental about Christmas. No, I'm realizing that I look at your faces and I feel love. I look at your families and I sense love. And I think only God can do this, to adopt us, all of us, who were orphaned by sin, estranged from our Father in heaven, and suddenly now we're a family. It's so cool to see young and old in the same family. It's so awesome to witness black and white and Hispanic in the same family, Asian in the same family, rich and poor. We think, wow, God, you've got a beautiful bouquet of a family here on earth. See, if you're sitting here tonight trying to figure out how to put the world back together, maybe you just need a little bit of guidance. Maybe you need to realize that the man in the picture or the woman in the picture is your life. And it's only Christ that can reassemble it once again. You know, I believe that God's given us a great ministry, and that is to this world. 2 Corinthians 5:18 says, but all things are from God, who through Jesus Christ reconciled us to himself, received us in favor, brought us into harmony with himself, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that by word and deed, we might aim to bring others into harmony with him. You know what I'm looking forward to 2013? You're seeing the family grow. Often I think with my wife about our own children. How many more grandchildren will we have? They might say, well, we're finished. But there's power in prayer. I begin thinking about my great-grandchildren. Little Preston has already made his way into this world. But there's others to come. I'm anticipating the family growing. You know what I'm looking forward to here at Church on the North Coast? More family members. I'm looking forward to being able to speak the word and bring into harmony those that have been estranged and say, you can join us. God loves you too, just like he loves us. There's nothing here that we call seniority rights. You can come in at the last moment and have all the rights and privileges of all of us who have been here for 5 years. You understand that this is all about family being redeemed by the precious lifeblood of Christ. You know, as we convene like this with families, no doubt there's going to be festivity after the service, food, there's going to be presents to open either tonight or tomorrow morning, rising early, enjoying each other, expressing our love. But no doubt there are families tonight that are fractured, estranged. There are people in our life that we wish we had a better relationship with. When I go back to the scripture that says peace on earth and goodwill toward men, I think, God, it's your desire that we have peace with each other. And so just quickly, before we receive communion, I want to present to you tonight the acronym of peace. I want to take the letter of that word and just offer to you a thought of how to help someone put their world back together again. The first letter is P. I believe it speaks for us to plan ahead, prepare. In other words, go into your relationships with the thought that you're going to bring reconciliation. Make a phone call tonight. Last year, if you remember Bill Wilson, he was here about a year ago. Every Christmas Eve, he goes back to Florida and he spends Christmas Eve night on the corner where his mother abandoned him as an 8-year-old boy. He wants to be reminded of what it felt like. He wants to be reminded of what his need was to be brought in, to be reconciled. He'll make phone calls to various people. And last year on Christmas Eve, I was privileged to receive a call from Bill Wilson. His voice kind of gruff. He said, "Hello, Pastor, this is Bill Wilson. I'm sitting on the corner here in Florida where I was abandoned. And I was thinking of you. And I want to say thank you to you and your church for all that you've done for me." You know, when I think about that, I was trying to ask the Holy Spirit earlier. I said, who could I call tonight and thank? Who can I call tonight in my mind, premeditate and say, let's be better friends. Let's be closer brothers. Let's be closer family members. The word peace first instructs us to plan to reconcile. Secondly, E, we need to learn to empathize with others. We need to understand that people have feelings, and many times they're hurting. And hurt people often hurt others. And rather than getting defensive or becoming angry, we have to understand and reach out and express to them, it must be very difficult for you to have to deal with what you're dealing with. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, let each of you look not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. That is the gospel. So we have planned to be a reconciler and empathize with others, but the letter A, I like to use the word attack or be aggressive. Attack the problem, but may I caution us? If you have a problem with somebody, it's okay to attack the problem, just spare the person. You see, the person's really not the problem. Because there is an enemy in this world today. There are evil spirits that like to bring confusion and strife, misunderstandings. And sometimes we look at people, we think, you're the problem. But let's attack tonight the problem and bring reconciliation to the person. We are never persuasive being abrasive. Understand that. Kind and gentleness is what the Bible calls, Ephesians 4:15, speaking the truth in love. So that we can grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. I know it's sometimes hard because emotionally we get so involved. But all is calm. All is bright. You see, tonight we have the peace of God. We're the sanctuaries of peace. And we can offer peace just like Jesus did on that night when the disciples were nearly outside of their minds. He appeared through the walls and he said, my peace I give you, my peace I leave you. Not as the world gives do I give unto you. They began to experience something that's out of this world. You and I are carriers of that element that's outside of this world. C, learn to cooperate with others. The Bible says in Romans 12:8, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives in liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. You and I need to learn to cooperate with others. I don't know if you've ever encountered an A-type personality. You know, the people that always want to be in charge, who can't just sit back and let someone else do it. They have to get in there and do it themselves. Or sometimes they can be brazen. It can be hard to get along with. I'm thankful that God delivered me of that personality. I used to be a type A person. And occasionally I slip back into that type A personality as well. But you know what? We need to learn to cooperate and allow other people to come up with the idea and then celebrate what they've got to say. You don't always have to be right. You don't always have to be the leader. Sometimes being a follower is a better leader than asking everyone to walk behind you. Learning to cooperate. And then finally, learn to emphasize reconciliation. I want the emphasis on the important things. You know, in life, what we tend to do, we tend to minor on the majors and major on the minors. You know what I'm talking about? What's really important? Is it the gift, the quantity, the amount that you spent? No, not really. But the love and the appreciation and the thoughtfulness that you put into it. The time you took to stop and say hello, or can I help you, or lend a hand to you, or to understand, or to cry with me, or weep with me, or to send me a note that you saw some disdain on my face for the last time and just wanted to make sure everything was okay. You see, I want to emphasize the fact that you and I can be reconciled because I want us to cooperate. I want us to learn how to attack the problem and not the person. I want us to empathize with the people and their feelings and plan to reconcile. You know, there's a saying that says, stop looking for the speck in your brother's eye because you got this big log coming out of yours. And Christmas changes that perspective. And I realize that I can't be a fault finder. That's exactly what the Bible says in Ephesians 4 and 32. It says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Isn't that marvelous? I can forgive others because I've been forgiven. Regardless of the infraction, regardless of the offense, I can forgive them because I've been forgiven? Absolutely. All is calm. All is bright. Peace on earth and goodwill toward men. One final verse as we prepare our hearts to go to communion. 2 Corinthians 5 and 19 said, that is that God was raised, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed us to the word of reconciliation. You see, God reconciled the world and he didn't impute their trespasses. In other words, he didn't say, you're responsible for the mess that you made. It's your fault. I'm blaming you. God never did that. Did you know that the ministry of reconciliation is God's grace to you regardless of all of our sin? The songwriter said, grace that is greater than all my sin. Do you understand tonight the ministry we've been called to? It's not to go out to this generation and point fingers at them and say, you are bad people. We're not to go to them and impute their trespasses. No, we're to do with them the same thing Christ did for us. That's what Christmas is all about. Maybe, just maybe, that's why this generation has taken the Christ out of their Christmas. Because all they get from the church is the pointing of fingers, blaming, and being responsible for the evil in this world. We've got to change our message. We've got to join the angels in heaven, let the heavens be open and rent again, and say, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. All is calm and all is bright. Tonight, as we approach the table of the Lord, let's be thankful that we're in harmony with God. Let's be thankful that we can be in harmony with one another. And as we approach this table tonight, Tina, would you join me? I want us to remember that world and that newspaper that was ripped up by that dad, trying to put it back together again, and the son realized that he could never achieve it on his own. He needed help. On the backside of that world was a face of a man. When he was able to put the man back together, his world came together. As we prepare now to receive this table, have you received Christ as your Lord and Savior? He could put your world back together again. It's a simple prayer. Why don't we all pray it together? Heavenly Father, I ask you to forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. I repent. And I ask you to be my Savior and my Lord. And I promise from this night that I will serve you with all my heart. In Jesus' name. Now listen, if you prayed that prayer, the Bible says if you'll confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus was raised from the dead, you could be saved. You are saved. So what do I do now? That's easy. Find a good Bible-believing church. Number two, learn to read the Bible. Start in the book of John. Number three, pray. So how do I do that? Just like you talk on the phone. Hey, God, what's up? Number four, find good Christian fellowship that can help guide you and support you in your harmony and your walk with God. That's what's vital. So I invite you to do that over the next 365 days, and I promise your life will never be the same. Ushers, would you come on down and help us out? Tina, let's do this. Father, we take this bread now and we break it, representing your broken body on the cross when you gave it to your disciples, saying, take, eat this body, this bread, which is my broken body for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's partake together. And Father, as we lift this cup up to you, we say thank you that love came down. Love came down and went to the cross, and on the third day rose again. When you gave it to your disciples, you reminded them that in this cup is the new covenant, which is in your blood. We're grateful tonight that we have a covenant with you, that we've made peace with you through Christ our Lord. Bless this cup now as we receive it together in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, we just thank you. When we think of the miracle of reconciliation, the price that you paid, the cost, the blood that was shed, we are so grateful, Father. We thank you that we can call you Father. We thank you for the peace that you shed in our hearts, the love that you shed in our hearts tonight, God, for you, but for one another as well. We thank you that you are the light that guided the world into salvation, and you are still guiding us, Lord. Help us tonight. Help the world tonight to follow your light, Lord God, to trust you and believe in you, God, and spend time with you. We thank you for the peace of salvation, the presence of the living God that's in our hearts right now. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we'd like to have our little candle lighting. So moms and dads, I think all the children have the candles as well. So just kind of watch them. They're real flames. These are not battery bulbs, right? And we want to sing Silent Night. So we're going to go ahead and light ours. And then we'll light those on the front. And then would you be so kind to light the person next to you? And if you'd bring the lights down, that would be awesome. And then as you light your candle, please stand. Can I have my family join me on the platform as well?
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round your virgin mother and child.
Come on, family.
Holy,
I should say Kayaton tribe. Come on up here. Sing with us.
Hallelujah to our King. May I
leadership, elders, yeah, everybody. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. And we're believing and trusting God for 2013 to be a healthy, prosperous, blessed new year. Amen?
Amen.
So Merry Christmas, everybody.
Christmas.
Matter of fact, we probably ought to just wish you a Merry Christmas. All right, let's try it.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas.
Oh, boy.
We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy
New Year. Here
we go. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Good tidings we bring to you and your King. Good tidings for Christmas and a Happy New Year. We wish you a Merry Christmas, we wish you a Merry Christmas, we wish you a Merry Christmas, and a Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas, everyone! God bless you!